Cirrus aircraft is sold to Chinese buyers. Avadyne's DFC-100 is finally approved for Cirrus planes. And a Warbird ferry flight ends in tragedy in New York. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 1st, 2011. For whatever else it means, everyone involved with Cirrus Aircraft can at least exhale. The deal with China has been done. The just-confirmed buyer of Cirrus is KAGA, the China Aviation Industry General Aircraft Company Limited. The new owner describes itself as a provider of general aviation products and related services headquartered in Zhuhai in the Guangdong province of China. Meng Zhengkai, KAGA's president, commented, quote, "We are deeply impressed. We look forward to working with Cirrus's management team to build upon proven success and to further expand production volume in order to cement Cirrus's existing leadership position, as well as to produce greater job opportunities in Duluth and Grand Forks," unquote. The deal will have to be cleared under the Hart-Scott-Rodino Antitrust Improvements Act and by the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, and whatever approvals are necessary on the Chinese side. It's expected to be ready to close about the middle of this year. It's been a long wait, but the FAA has finally issued TSO and STC for the Avadyne DFC-100. The digital flight control system includes a dual-source, attitude-based flight control system, as well as safety enhancements, including straight and level mode and full-time flight envelope alerting. The new STC grants approval for the installation of the DFC-100 in the Cirrus SR-20 and 22. Avadyne also received TSO approval for Release 9.2 software for Integra, which provides DFC-100 compatibility for the Integra Release 9 system and adds several other performance benefits. The list price of the DFC-100 for Release 9-equipped Cirrus aircraft is about $15,000. Integra Release 9 Gold packages, including DFC-100 for the Cirrus SR-20 and 22, start at $59,000. For a more detailed list of features, see the text version of this story, dated February 28th, at aero-news.net. A New York surgeon was fatally injured Saturday when the BAC-167 Strike Master that he had just purchased went down in the Hudson River following a low pass over Kingston-Ulster Airport. Dr. Michael Feraldi was bringing the vintage jet, thought to be one of only 14 in the world, to base it at the airport. He had bought the plane in Nashville, Tennessee from Dragon Aviation, which used the Warbird in air shows. Dragon president Andy Anderson described Feraldi as a good friend and confirmed the aircraft had been owned by his company. A witness who was also a friend of the pilot told WNYW-TV he watched Feraldi make a low pass over the airport and pull up into a near-vertical climb. But Dr. Ken Noonan said the aircraft appeared to lose thrust, nosed over, and went down in the river, breaking through a layer of ice and sinking in about 10 feet of water. Media sources indicate Dr. Feraldi's body was recovered by rescue divers from the cockpit of the plane Sunday afternoon. He was the only person on board when it went down. The FAA on Friday announced the completion of the expansion and renovation of the passenger terminal at the Pitt-Greenville Airport in North Carolina, which was paid for with $7.9 million in federal stimulus funds. The terminal was expanded to a two-story structure that meets current floodplain standards, after the airport was severely flooded during Hurricane Floyd in 1999. Improvements include a departure waiting area for passengers, two additional gates, and a security checkpoint. Up next on ANN, the first production F-35 has flown. Japan may give up waiting and buy Typhoons. And Continental flight attendants have a new contract. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 1st. I'm Paul Plack. The first production model of the F-35 Lightning II made its inaugural flight Friday in preparation for delivery to the U.S. Air Force this spring. The jet will continue flight tests in Fort Worth for about a month before it's accepted by the Air Force, after which it will head to Edwards Air Force Base in California to support developmental testing. The F-35A conventional takeoff and landing variant, designed to meet U.S. Air Force requirements, is also the primary export version of the Lightning II and will serve the air forces of Italy, the Netherlands, Turkey, Canada, Australia, Denmark, Norway, and Israel. Deliveries of the F-35B, short takeoff and vertical landing variant to the U.S. Marine Corps, also began this year, and deliveries of the F-35C carrier variant to the Navy will start in 2012. 17 F-35s have entered testing since December of 2006 and have logged more than 650 flights and numerous ground tests. Fighter jets built in the U.S. have traditionally been Japan's military aircraft of choice, but with lengthy program delays and potential technology transfer restrictions, Tokyo is considering a pitch from Eurofighter for the Typhoon. In a deal that could be worth over $10 billion, the four countries which make up the Eurofighter consortium feel they have a shot at getting the Japanese business despite long-standing ties between the U.S. and Japan. The Japanese government has been deliberating for years about which airplane would replace its fleet of fighters as they reach the end of their service life. The F-35 and F-A-18 have both been considered frontrunners. Part of Eurofighter's sales pitch is that Japan really wanted to buy the F-22 Raptor, a deal the U.S. decided not to make, and that the Typhoon is ready now compared to the continued wait for the F-35. Japan eventually expects to buy 40 to 50 new fighter jets, and Japanese officials have been increasingly concerned about military modernization programs in both China and Russia. European turboprop manufacturer ATR, Indonesia's Wings Air, and its parent company Lion Air have signed an operational contract for the purchase of 15 additional ATR-72-500s. Friday's signature on the new 72-seat aircraft order, which follows an agreement signed last year, will bring to 30 the total fleet of ATRs operated by Wings Air. Wings Air introduced the new ATR-72-500s in Indonesia in January of 2010, and 10 of the aircraft are already in operation. With the delivery of the additional 15 aircraft, Wings Air and Lion Air will become ATR's largest customer in Southeast Asia. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers announced on Friday that flight attendants at Continental Airlines have voted to ratify a new interim collective bargaining agreement that will raise their top base pay to $52.53 per hour while providing a no-furlough guarantee that lasts as long as the contract. This contract was ratified by 68% of voting members, with 70% of the overall membership participating. The new interim agreement covers 9,300 flight attendants based in Houston, Newark, and Cleveland. The 20-month contract is retroactive to January 1, 2010. Union VP Robert Roach Jr. commented, quote, "This interim agreement provides immediate raises and important merger protections as United and Continental integrate their operations. After we win representation rights for the combined flight attendant group, we will return to the table and negotiate long-term improvements for all 25,000 flight attendants," unquote. IAM says that under this contract, a senior flight attendant at Continental will earn base wage rates that are the highest of any legacy carrier in the industry and $13,000 a year more than a United Airlines flight attendant. Still ahead, WAI wraps another successful show in Reno. A famous A320 will finally reach Charlotte, and we can now make embarrassing mistakes at the speed of light. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 1st. I'm Paul Plack. ANN CEO Jim Campbell completed a selection process he described as tough, and the first two recipients of the Vicky Cruz Memorial Scholarship are Kelly Marie Hoffman of San Carlos, California, and Christy Lynn Garvin of Powder Springs, Georgia. The ladies will each receive $1,000 toward aerobatic or unusual attitude training. The scholarship program was established in memory of U.S. Aerobatic Team pilot and IAC president Vicky Cruz. The selections were announced at WAI, the just-concluded Women in Aviation International Convention in Reno, Nevada. WAI's theme this year was Inspire, Enthuse, Innovate, and there was reportedly plenty of all three happening throughout the conference. Attendees represented all aspects and interests within the aviation community, including military, commercial, corporate, and recreational flying. Attendance reached nearly 3,000 men and women from the U.S. and 21 other countries. 13% of attendees are college and university students. The exhibit hall displayed 121 companies and organizations, and 76 separate scholarships totaled over $691,000, distributed to WAI members at every stage of life, from university students to mature members seeking a midlife career change to aviation. The silent auction raised nearly $20,000 for WAI's endowment fund, which is used for scholarships and educational programs. The next WAI convention will be held in Dallas, Texas, from March 8th through the 10th, 2012. The plane that became famous for the miracle on the Hudson will finally reach Charlotte after all. The Carolinas Aviation Museum has acquired the Airbus A320 airframe that Sully and Skiles famously ditched in the Hudson River from Chartis, a property casualty and general insurance company. Sean Dorsch, president of the museum, explained, quote, "Flight 1549 is an internationally recognized aviation icon, which represents the highest reaches of human heroics and technological advancement, and is of inestimable historic value to the world. Never before has an insurance company preserved an aircraft like this, and I think Chartis and their partners should be commended for the foresight they have shown with their visionary contribution to future aviation safety," unquote. And finally today, the Chicago Tribune will never live down the headline, which bannered its one-star edition the morning of November 3, 1948. The paper jumped the gun to announce Dewey beats Truman, based not on actual election returns, but on projections from an expert with an 80% track record. The mistake provided a classic photo op the next day for Truman, who smiles and holds the paper erroneously announcing his opponent's win. Oops. Well, apparently, U.S. Representative Jay Inslee, a Washington State Democrat, had been listening to all the speculation about the KCX tanker bid war leaning toward Eads, and had prepared two email blasts for release when the decision came down. And so, when Boeing won the contract last week, cheering no doubt broke out across the Puget Sound aerospace sector. But Inslee's office released the wrong email, headlined, "Decision Will Not Stand." The Puget Sound Business Journal reports that about a minute later, the second and correct message went out, this time saying, "Best choice for next-gen tanker." Fortunately for Inslee's legacy, in another 62 years, nobody from Boeing will be seen in a photo archive holding up his email. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, two interview clips from last summer with Cirrus Aircraft CEO Brent Wouters, which make really interesting review given today's news. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.